So we continue our studies in the larger catechism. Our text for tonight again is Exodus 20 and verses 8 and 9. Exodus 20 verses 8 and 9. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Question 117 in the larger catechism. How is the Sabbath or the Lord's day to be sanctified? The Sabbath or the Lord's day is to be sanctified by an holy resting on the day, not only from such works as are at all times sinful, but even from such worldly employments and recreations as are on other days lawful, and making it our delight to spend the whole time apart so much of except so much of it as is to be taken up in works of necessity and mercy, in the public and private exercises of God's worship. And to that end, we are to prepare our hearts, and with such foresight, diligence, and moderation, to dispose unseasonably dispatch our worldly business, that we may be the more free and fit for the duties of that day. So we're dealing here with the fourth commandment, and particularly with how it is to be kept. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, what should we call this day? Some people insist on calling it the Sabbath day and absolutely detest the name Sunday and regard it as very irreligious, a day for sun worship. But then we call another day Monday and we don't involve ourselves in moon worship. We call another day Saturday, and we're not involved in worshipping Saturn. So these are just names. Names in and of itself don't matter greatly. The word Sabbath is not used for the Lord's Day in the scriptures. The day that is used, the term that is used is the Lord's Day, the day that the Lord rose from the dead, the day that he was victorious, the day that he conquered the grave, the day that he finished and completed the work of the redemption, the day that he entered into his rest, the day that belongs to the Lord. He is Lord of the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day in that sense. And we can also call it the Christian Sabbath. The term Sabbath itself tends to refer to the seventh day of the week. We think of the Jewish Sabbath. And we think too of Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Let none judge you with regard to meat and to drink, and with regard to new moons and Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. What were the Sabbath days referred to there? Well, it could be the yearly Sabbaths. Every 7 years the land was to be at rest and not to be cultivated. But it could also refer to the Jewish Sabbath. It seems very likely that to begin with, the Jewish Christians would keep the Sabbath, the last day of the week, and the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. And some would be very sensitive about that and very concerned about these things. But Paul is saying, don't let anybody judge you, demanding of you, you Colossians, you Gentiles, that you keep the Sabbath day as well as the Lord's Day. We are to keep the Lord's Day. We are to keep one day in seven, the day that the Lord rose from the dead. We are to keep that day as our holy day. And those who are keeping the Jewish Sabbath as well are involved in an unnecessary work. If they wish to do that, that's up to them. But let nobody judge you with regard to new moons and Sabbaths. These things are a shadow of what is to come. The Old Testament Sabbath was a shadow of the New Testament Sabbath. And the New Testament or Christian Sabbath is itself a shadow of heaven. The word Sabbath means rest. And you think, for example, of Hebrews chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. There remaineth therefore a sabbatismos, a Sabbath for the people of God. And that is referring to the rest of heaven. There's the rest of heaven awaiting us. Just as the Israelites were looking forward to the promised land of Canaan, we, by God's grace, are looking forward to the promised land of heaven and to the everlasting Sabbath. There's no night there. There's no weeks there. There's no division between 6 days of labor and one day of rest. It's all one everlasting Sabbath of worshiping and praising and honoring and adoring our great God and Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of regeneration and the Spirit of adoption and the Spirit of sanctification, the Spirit who unites us to Christ. So then, the common New Testament usage for this day is the word Lord's Day. We find it in Revelation chapter 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. John was in the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, on that day when the Lord rose from the dead, that first day of the week, and the Lord came to him, visited him, revealed great and glorious truths to him, enabled him to see wonderful visions. It was a blessed day. The Lord's Day is especially the day when God blesses his church. More people are converted on Sunday, the Lord's Day, than on any other day of the week. And the Lord's people are edified and built up in their faith and fed in their souls and strengthened and sanctified on the Lord's Day more than any other day. It's that blessed day that the Lord has blessed and made a blessing to others. So it's to be our day of worship. You remember how in Acts chapter 20 at Troas, Paul waited for 7 days until that first day of the week when they had the Lord's Supper and when he preached on that great lengthy sermon that lasted till midnight. And then Eutychus fell asleep and fell out of the window. And you remember that after the restoration of Eutychus, that Paul preached on right through the night until the breaking of day. What a mighty sermon it must have been. What glorious truths he must have been delighting in. What a blessed Christian Sabbath that was for the church, the early church at Troas. It's not the name that we use for the day that matters. The thing that matters is how we keep the day. And that involves two things, negatively and positively. Things we're not to do, not to work. Positively, what we are to do, to worship in public and in private. So first of all then, it's a day of rest. In it, thou shalt not do any work. Exodus 20, verse 10. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger who's visiting you and who's living in your house with you, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The Sabbath of the Lord's day is to be sanctified by an holy resting all the day, not only from such works as are at all times sinful. Of course, we're to rest and to stop from works that are sinful. We're not to do sinful things on the Lord's day or on any other day. But even from such worldly employments and recreations as are on other days lawful. Lawful on other days. Work and recreations and leisure activities that are lawful. On other days we are to rest from these. Remember Nehemiah chapter 13, how Nehemiah was grieved at the desecration of the Sabbath. What were they doing on the Sabbath? That gives us a hint of some of the things that are wrong on the Sabbath. They were reaping the fields on the Sabbath, and they were carrying in corn. They were harvesting, and they were transporting goods on the Sabbath. And then there were people coming from Tyre, and they were selling their fish on the Sabbath and other wares, buying and selling, commerce on the Sabbath. So these are the things that were condemned. Nehemiah stood against them and demanded that he stop, reasoning with them and pleading with them and saying how they had ended up 70 years in Babylon because of their desecration of the Sabbath day, among other sins that they were committing. They were breaking the Sabbath, and so they had to repent of these things. So buying and selling, harvesting, transporting, agricultural work, planting, sowing, whatever it is, isn't to be done on Sabbath. Fishing, commerce, manufacturing, all these works. Students studying. Sabbath day is not for studying. We've got 6 days to do our studies. And the Sabbath day is a day of rest. It's not to be used in work. And neither is it to be used for pleasure. We read together, didn't we, in Isaiah 58. Doing your pleasure on my holy day. Using it for pleasure activities, for leisure, for sport, for watching films and entertainment, for whatever hobbies people have, gardening or whatever. It's not to be used for these things, not to be used for playing games, not to be used for entertainment. It's to be a day of rest. But it's important to notice that there are certain works of necessity and mercy. And we see in the Gospels that Jesus, on several occasions, was involved in controversy with the Pharisees, who thought that he was breaking the Sabbath day. But Jesus was teaching them that there are works of necessity and mercy which should be carried out on the Sabbath, and which are right. For example, Jesus and his disciples were walking through fields of corn one day, one Sabbath day, and the disciples were hungry. And they reached down and they plucked some ears of corn, rubbed them in their hands to take the shells off it, and then they ate the corn. And the Pharisees condemned them as being involved in reaping on the Sabbath and preparing corn for eating. But Jesus said, no, it's a work of necessity. You remember what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him, how he went into the temple on the Sabbath day. Went into the temple, it doesn't say what day it was actually, but he went into the temple and ate the showbread, which was only to be eaten by the priests. But in necessity, because he was hungry, it was appropriate that he eat that bread that had been the showbread and then was taken down from the table. So Jesus justifies works of necessity. Now, it's right, therefore, to cook on the Sabbath day. The Jews argue that you shouldn't make a fire on the Sabbath. And they take it to the extreme that you shouldn't turn on a cooker. You shouldn't turn on an electric light on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, they say that because turning on an electric light is, they say, lighting a fire. So they won't turn on their lights. They have them on some kind of automatic switch, or they leave them on from the night before so as to keep them from doing this. Well, you remember the case in Numbers chapter 15, where there was a man when they were going through the wilderness who was found gathering sticks on the Sabbath to make a fire. And that was condemned. And he was stoned to death for breaking the Sabbath. There was a lot of work involved in going round gathering sticks and lighting a fire. It wasn't easy to light a fire in those days. But it's quite a different thing to simply switch on a cooker or switch on an electric light. So, yes, it's appropriate to cook, although it would be wrong to be involved in elaborate baking on the Sabbath day or spending time in these things. We shouldn't be spending a lot of time with cooking on the Sabbath. Some of our forefathers, and maybe we can remember it ourselves, our parents perhaps, how they would cook things up on Saturday to have it ready for the Sabbath and preparation in that way. Certainly prepare vegetables and so on the Sabbath. So that there wasn't an unnecessary amount of time being wasted on the Sabbath in these things. The Sabbath is so precious for holy activity, for worshipping God in public and private. So we can go to Jewish extremes with these things, but there are works of necessity. For example, Jesus says, if your animal falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, you don't leave it there till Monday. You pull it out on the Sabbath. And you take your animal and you lead it away out of the stall for watering on the Sabbath. You don't leave it to be thirsty. No, it's you would feed your animal and you would give it water on the Sabbath. That's right and that's appropriate. There are certain things that have to be done. If you had a dairy herd, if that was your work, then you would have to milk them on the Sabbath day. That would be necessary. These things are necessary. There are certain kinds of work that are necessary, emergency works. If your house went on fire on the Sabbath, you would have to do everything you could to put it out. And if your job was a fireman, then you would have to work on the Sabbath in order to help others who were in need on the Sabbath day. Similarly, policemen have to work, the army, ships going on voyages that take weeks and months, they naturally keep on going on the Sabbath. So there's a certain amount of work involved in doing that. Blast furnaces that cannot be shut down, they have to keep going. So there's work of that nature. If your car breaks down on coming to church, it's right that you should try and put it right if you can. If you've got a puncture, then you change the wheel on the Sabbath day. There are these works, emergency works, that are necessary and right. But it's wrong to work for double pay on the Sabbath. If double pay has been offered, that means that the work is something that others will do. They'll do it for the incentive of money. And that is wrong. I remember one case like that of a man I knew who had been a member of the church, and he wanted to work as a traffic warden on the Sabbath. His normal work didn't take him out on the Sabbath, but then they started football matches on the Sabbath, and traffic wardens would be paid double pay for working on the Sabbath. And we told him we didn't want him to work on the Sabbath. It was wrong for him to do that. Other traffic wardens who were Christians wouldn't work on the Sabbath, but he was awfully taken by the idea of getting double pay, and he was trying to justify what he was doing because he said it's just like a policeman. But the football matches weren't necessary on the Sabbath. And if the work of marshalling crowds on the Sabbath is necessary, then, well, there were others who were quite happy to work for double pay. And the Christian should not waste or lose a Sabbath over these things. There are works then of necessity, and there are works of mercy on the Sabbath. We're told about Jesus that he healed a blind man on the Sabbath day. There was another man with a withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and Jesus healed him. Jesus did miracles of healing on the Sabbath. The Jews said to him, said to the people, come on other days. You can come on other, you can wait till Monday and come along. And in a sense, I suppose you could. The blind person could come along on the Monday to be healed. But Jesus said, no, it's as appropriate when somebody is suffering, it's appropriate that they should be healed on the Sabbath day. Works of mercy on the Sabbath. It's right that doctors and nurses, hospital staff, work on the Sabbath to provide healing. And works of charity should be done on the Sabbath day. So there are then these two categories of work, works of necessity and mercy. And we need to give people a certain amount of liberty in these things. Different people will interpret these things in different ways. And there's a measure of freedom of conscience on these things if people are doing it seriously and doing it seeking to live out their lives to the glory of God. Now, this catechism also implies, and this commandment also implies, that not only should there be rest on the Sabbath, but there should be work on the other days. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. The Sabbath was instituted by God in Genesis chapter 2 in the Garden of Eden. But so was work instituted. Work is something that we are to do. It's wrong to sit around and not to work. We are to employ ourselves as best we can, according to our health and strength, in work. 6 days shalt thou labour. Now, maybe the whole 6 days is not taken up with remunerative work, but there's other works that we are to do as well. There's all kinds of work around our homes, and work for other people perhaps, or working in our gardens, washing our cars, things like that. All these sort of things are things to be done in the 6 days, looking after our homes and cleaning our homes. These are works for the 6 days. And we are to use the 6 days for work. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. and do all thy work. But the Sabbath day, now thinking of the positive side, we are to keep it holy, resting from these works, from such worldly employments and recreations as are on other days lawful, and making it our delight to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, apart from such time as is taken up with works of necessity and mercy. There are certain works that we all have to do every Lord's Day. But we are to make it our delight to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of worship. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's that positive side as well as the negative. So how do we keep it holy? What does holy mean? Well, the basic meaning of the word holy is separation. So the Sabbath day is separated from the other days as a day for God. Other days for us, this day for God. Other days for worldly activities, recreations, this day specially for God. Separated from Him, marked out as different. But should not every day be for the Lord? Of course, there is a sense in which every day should be for the Lord. But yet in this life, every day cannot be for the Lord the way one day can be for the Lord. Because we have work to do. There are things that must be done on these other days. But this day can be set apart as a shadow of heaven, a foreshadowing and type of heaven. One day especially for God, when we can legitimately lay aside our work. No matter how demanding our work is, we can say, no, I'm not going to work 7 days. I'm only going to work 6 days. So I leave aside my work. And maybe we're under a lot of pressure as students doing our studies. Again, we say, no, I work hard 6 days, and then this day is for God. Whatever work we have to do in the house and the family, again, as housewives, there's so many things to do, so much work to do. One day we can legitimately rest and relax from all these things and give this day to God. Separate it unto God, and separate it unto God particularly for the public and private exercises of worship. Public worship, that's the day we come together, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, coming before the Lord in public worship, joining with God's people in the reading of His word, the singing of His psalms, the preaching, the prayers, Bible study, Christian fellowship, these public things, but also in private worship. In our homes, reading our Bibles, praying, studying the word, reading good books, listening to sermons, involved in Christian fellowship one with another and encouraging each other in the things of God, keeping it holy, public worship and private worship. And notice the word that's used here, making it our delight, delight. Don't call the Sabbath burdensome. Don't call it boring. Call it a delight, the holy of the Lord and honorable, blessed. What a day, what a blessed day, what a foretaste of heaven. Call the Sabbath a delight, call it a pleasure. Enjoy the Sabbath day, enjoy God, enjoy worshiping our God, enjoy fellowship with Christ. Delight in the Lord. the Sabbath or the Lord's Day is to be sanctified by an holy resting all the day. How much of the day is to be taken up? You know, some churches came up with the idea a few years ago that it's only necessary to keep the first part of Sunday holy. As long as you keep the half day holy and in the morning you worship God, then you can do what you like for the rest of the day. But no, the whole day, all day, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. From morning till night, the whole day, in the public and private exercises of worship, not a half day, not a part-time Christian, but a full-time Christian. And what period should be kept? The Jews had their days from sunset to the following sunset. So the day, the Sabbath day, would begin at sunset on Friday night and continue till sunset on Saturday. And the Christian Sabbath for them would begin on sunset on Saturday and continue till sunset on Sunday. Interestingly, I met a man in Brazil when I was there, Pastor Josepha, and when he began to study these things, and he was greatly taken by the Puritans and so on, and reading and studying the scriptures, and he came to the to the idea that you should keep the Sabbath from sunset on Saturday to sunset on Sunday. And but then after a while he began to realize that that wasn't what is appropriate. The day is the way it's commonly reckoned for us. We reckon our days from midnight to midnight. And that is customary. And that's the way we should consider this period. You know, of course, that because of the shape of the earth and the way the earth is revolving on its axis, the Sabbath begins in Japan and China long before it begins with us. And it ends in North America, South America, far later than it does with us because of the way the earth is revolving. So there's a different Sabbath depending on your place in the time zones of the world. So the important thing is not the exact minutes or hours, but rather that the day as we count the day, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, be given to God. And then you notice that it says here, to that end, we are to prepare our hearts, and with such foresight, diligence, and moderation, to dispose and seasonably dispatch our worldly business, that we may be the more free and fit for the duties of the day. We should prepare ourselves for the Sabbath. It's good to prepare for the Sabbath. I remember being very conscious of that as a young boy growing up. There were certain things that wouldn't be done on Saturday evening because work tended to be finished, as it were, about tea time, and then Saturday night there would be various preparations and different things done so that there could be as much rest as possible, on holy rest as possible on the Lord's Day. And there's wisdom in that. And there's wisdom in setting our hearts on Saturday night, setting our hearts on the things of God. That's one of the benefits of a Saturday night prayer meeting. It prepares our heart and sets our mind to the things of God and gets us tuned, as it were, for the Sabbath. So it's good to prepare, to prepare what we can so that we have a day of rest and so that our minds are relaxed and we're laying aside as much as we can the cares and pleasures of the week, setting our hearts upon holy things, preparing for the Sabbath, and of course also leaving till Monday the things that can be left to Monday. We are to try and free our minds from all worries. But then maybe the question is asked, are there no recreations that are legitimate on the Sabbath? Well, it's interesting that Jesus and his disciples went out for walks on the Sabbath. They would walk sometimes by the lakeside. They would walk sometimes through the fields on the Sabbath. So yes, we can go for walks if we feel that's appropriate or right for us. We can walk and enjoy creation and talk about the things of God and, like Jesus, meditate on these things and talk together and pray together. That sort of thing is fine. But when it comes to sports and films and entertainment that will fill our minds with earthly, worldly things, no, these things are not right on the Sabbath. We are to fill our minds with Christ, with the Bible, with the gospel, with the truth. It's God's day, a day to be given to God, and a foretaste of heaven. And if we find the Sabbath a burden, what are we going to find heaven? When it's an everlasting Sabbath, what a burden it will be to some people. But if we learn to delight in God and enjoy God, glorifying and enjoying Him on the Lord's Day, that is a wonderful preparation for heaven. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it thou shalt not do any work. Delight yourselves in God and call the Sabbath a delight.